If you'd like to read with me, going to start off in the 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Listen close to these words. You know, every bit of the Bible is given for every one of us, but some areas speak expressly to a particular group. And just listen close to this. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, if you'll notice that fourth verse there, that's why preachers and those that are called stand up, I guess you'd say, and take the flack or whatever word you want to use for taking their stand. He said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You and I, you know, we should be working for that crown of life, and not to please man, but to please God, because that's the one we're going to give an account to. Then if you'll turn over into Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and that's the very last one of Hebrews, reading the 17th verse. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to for you. Now, you and I, a preacher that preaches hard messages, you'll find in the revival, there was several nights there was some pretty strong messages that was preached, but you'll find the first two nights there was some strong messages, and even the evangelist was wondering why that they had to preach such a message as that in a revival. And the very reason was we needed it. And that's something a lot of times we're not willing to accept. And, you know, just like this, obey them that have rule over you. I don't care who it is, what preacher it is, when he's preaching a message and the Spirit of God is on it, you and I better be listening. Because that's coming from God, and God's putting his sanction on it by the very Spirit of God that's anointing him. And right here, obey them that have the rule over you. You and I, we might not like some of the things. Just like in the Bible, there are times that there are things that God speaks to me, and there are things that I read that I don't particularly like. I wish it wasn't that way, but yet I got to come to it, and it makes no difference whether we want to accept it or not. When we stand before God, he's the final authority. He's the one that I got to obey if I want to make heaven my home. You and I, it's time for us to realize that God has a plan, a hierarchy, or however you want to say that. And I don't know what makes God choose who he does to be ministers. You know, a lot of times you'll find if you go searching out the preacher's life, you'll find that the ones that God has called are the ones that you think would be the least one that he would call, because when you talk to them, you'll find out in their family, they was the worst. In their group, they was the worst. It just seems like that God chooses the worst to call. Why? So we can be examples to people of what a difference God can make. So they can see the change. It isn't that we're Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two Shoes from the very start. But somewhere or another, we allowed the things in this life to contaminate us to where we didn't even feel ourselves worthy to carry the gospel. But yet God is calling me and you. It makes no difference. He's calling each and every one of us to be obedient unto his word and that he's saying through it. And like I said, we might not like it, but God didn't say, I'm only going to give you that you like. He's going to send what we need for our spiritual growth. If we'll only surrender to the things of God. And you know, I can remember in my life having an uncle, because I was just a young preacher, and he thought, I guess, because he is so much older than me, and he had been a deacon probably almost as long as I'd been alive, that he could tell me what he wanted, and that should carry weight, and he'd get his own way. That ain't the way it works. When God sends a message, I don't care. You'll find one place that Paul was telling Timothy, you know, not to fear their faces because of your youth. Not to fear. You just stand on the word of God. You and I today, that's what we've got to do. We got to come and preach God's word just the very way he said it. And God didn't put this in here. Obey them to have authority over you. And submit yourself. You and I, it only don't do us good to listen. But when we submit, that's when we get the good to it. It don't feed us. It don't help us to grow. And we're rebelling again what God's sending our way. And he don't send it to us unless we need it. You and I today, we might think, well, this church or this preacher don't preach it that way. You can get somebody that will tell you whatever you want to hear, and the Bible speaks about that. Heap to themselves, teachers have an itching ear. But that don't make it right, and that don't make it acceptable unto God. I could take you to, I don't even know how many different churches right here in this county that does not preach all of the Bible, because it would offend some of the people attending their church. God don't tell me or any other preacher to duck and dodge the things that might offend. He says, preach my word. And, you know, if we accept it, you know, just like the last part of that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You and I, the preacher, he might not enjoy preaching the message, but when he sees it's receptive, it brings joy unto him. And that makes it profitable to the people. But if they don't hear, it brings grief to the preacher, and it's unprofitable to you. Not because God didn't have that there for you to eat. You know, it's just like my mother, when I was a kid growing up, when it come time for a meal, us kids pretty much knew when that was going to be. And when she hollered out, it's ready, we better go, because we're playing and we're too busy to go. And we stayed out there and it got cold. When we come in, she said, you eat it cold. I ain't warming it up for you. Or she put it all up. You should have been here on time. Boy, the next time you was on time. You and I today. You see people where God's withdrawn from them, the Spirit of God. And yet they don't seem to be hungry and missing it to the point they're willing to lay down everything to have that spirit back again. That's why I went to preacher, because without being obedient unto God, you couldn't point out anything that I was doing wrong, except in me. I knew I was being disobedient to what God had for me. And because of that, God withdrew his spirit from me. They could have shouted all over the church, and I was just in dry as could be. Why, I wasn't being obedient. And if I'd have stayed that way,
hell was the only place for me to go. Not because I'd done anything wrong, but because I didn't do that, that God was calling me to do. And the Bible tells us to know to do good and to do it not, to him and his sin. You and I, it's time that we just unreservingly start obeying God. You know, there's a war really getting started in the world today. And who knows what this is going to lead to. But each and every one of us, we can look and see time is growing short. If we got lost people, we better get down to business. If we're a Christian in church, we better get down to business. Get in and work for God, laying aside everything. If we have to walk away from people that we call friends, you know, if to keep a friend, if you have to neglect anything of God, or if you have to put your reputation as being a Christian on the line, that ain't a friend. You need to walk away from him. Each and every one of us, we got such a short time here. Why do we play with life and death? The spiritual, you know, you if you know God and you just let yourself get in that, as they used to say, cold and indifferent. God tells us what he thinks of that. I'd rather it be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Each and every one of us, God wants us to be on fire. And on fire makes it to heaven. Lukewarm and cold makes it to hell. And it's time for us to realize we must be on fire. We must care about our testimony. You know, I can remember that with my dad. There were so many things that people wanted Dad to go here or go there. And Dad, now I ain't taking a chance of hurting my testimony, because there's people that don't think too well of that. You and I, if we care, we should care about what people think about. You know, you find all kinds of people, they say, well, I can't help what somebody else thinks. Yeah, you can. The life you live in front of them makes a difference. And each and every one of us, we've got such a short time here. Do you realize you can do more damage in just a few minutes than you can build back in months, sometimes years? God's holding you responsible. The damage, if you hurt the influence and cause somebody else to doubt a Christian life, can you measure how much damage that is? Each and every one of us. That's why he said to obey them that have authority. Obey your elders. My mom had that saying, learn from other people's mistakes, because you're not going to live long enough to make them all yourself. But then she'd usually add, but some people are bound to try. Bound to try what? Bound to try and see if they can't make all the mistakes. Mistakes are not things you can boast about. It's things you should be ashamed of. And you and I today, God has been merciful to us. You know, this little church, I just sit and marvel. I was talking to the men there from North Carolina. They could not believe we got this building and 3 acres of ground free. Paid a dollar, and a man dropped it in the offering plate. That was on the front porch out there before we had the bathroom. And he walked in and laid it in the plate and walked out. God has blessed us above measure time and time and time again. How many times do we stop to thank him? You know, I walk into this little church so many times and I have to say, thank you, Lord. Because I realize we've been blessed above measure. I've been in a lot of big churches, and you go in and they don't look as nice as this. I've been in a lot of them that don't have benches as comfortable as this. I'm not bragging, but I'm praising God because it's a gift from God. How many times do we say, thank you, Lord, for giving us a place where we can worship you in spirit and truth? People look around and say, oh, it's a small crowd. Well, I'd rather have a small crowd and have no God as a household than no. You and I, God blesses according to our heart, our desire, and we need to wake up and realize our life is swiftly passing by, and it won't be long till you're going to be an old person and in charge. You know, Paul was instructing Timothy, but as Paul was ready to leave, he was instructing Timothy on what to look for in those that's going to be coming in to start learning and taking up play. You and I today, you know, each one of us, we only pass this way but one time. And you really need to be cautious about the things you do, the places you go, the things you say, that every bit of it is approved by God. And, you know, God does not give us our desires. A lot of times we desire something, but that's not the will of God. And we need to wake up and be willing to accept God's will. There again, you know, it was God's will that I preached. It wasn't my will. But I found out God's will was right. Do you realize Christ Himself there in the garden prayed, not my will, thy will be done? Christ could see because He was God. He realized everything that He was going to go through, the shame of it. He would rather not have done it. But He loved us enough that He knew that was our only way to be redeemed. Because the Father had figured it out and told Him so. So He yielded to the Father's will. You and I preach message, it goes out. It's not me, but God sent it, so it's God's will. And you need to obey it. Just like any other preacher at preaching, we need to abide by the Word of God. If he's preaching what he believes, you might not have to accept it if it don't stand on the Word of God. But if he's preaching and giving you scripture, you might say, well, I've never heard it that way before. But if the scripture backs it up, you need to accept it, because we don't know. Our time here is so short. And you might think, well, I'll take care of this later. Right now, I don't want that. I want this other. Might be when you get ready, you find he's not listening. That's what's got me so terrified about a person. Has God shut the door of mercy? When God knocks and is often turned away, when we know what God requires and we fail to do it, then we get to the time, oh, okay, I'm ready to listen now. There is not a word in the Bible that tells you God will wait and be ready when you are. He said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death is judgment. There's an accepted time for me and you to get right with God, and that's when he's knocking and dealing with us. When he quits, what hope is there? Each and every one of us, please, I beg you, listen to these scriptures I read to you. They're in 1 Peter and here in Hebrews. God speaking to this. And there's other places in the Bible about being obedient to those with authority over you. You might think, well, preacher don't have no authority over me. Honey, when it comes to voting here at the church, I'm just one vote. But when it comes to a preached message, it's not just me, it's not just Daryl or any other preacher. It's between you and God, whether you're obedient or disobedient. And disobedience does not carry a blessing. It carries a curse. And each and every one of us, please, I beg you, while we sing some song, I beg you, Wake up. Have a receptive mind and heart. You know, none of us knows what tomorrow holds. None of us can say, well, I've got plans this week. You know, that was the thing the devil was trying to use on me. Oh, you've made plans this next week. You can't go to the altar now. Those plans were nothing. And when I went and broke them, I found out those that I thought was friends, they had nothing to do with me after that. They weren't a friend. They was acquaintances. You and I, there are very few friends we actually have in this life. A friend, somebody that loves you, going to tell you the truth, even when it hurts, and one that really cares for you and prays for you. That person, they'll pat you on the back, try and console you when you're doing wrong. They don't love you. They're wanting company in what you're doing. And you better avoid them. Why don't we sing?